I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight, folks, we're going to talk about the latest developments in this Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking case. We'll talk about how there's a great call for Alex Acosta, the Labor Secretary, to defend his position. We'll talk about that. Plus, Amnesty International will be joining us live in studio to talk about reparations for gunshot survivors. Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture on WEAA.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
So welcome to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. We got a great show for you tonight. Going to talk about the latest developments in this Jeffrey Epstein case. This is the billionaire financier who is now being charged with allegedly operating a sex trafficking ring in which he sexually abused dozens of underage girls out of his New York City and Palm Beach, Florida homes. And he has been doing this for years. We're going to talk about this particular case and look at the ins and outs of it. But the latest development is around the United States Labor Secretary, Mr. Alex Acosta, who defends his role in the Epstein sexual abuse scandal because he served as the U.S. attorney in Florida more than a decade ago, and he negotiated a non-prosecution deal with the multimillionaire. And in this deal, it essentially allowed him to only serve 13 months. Avoid a federal trial, and just simply register as a sex offender. So we're going to talk about that case. Also, we're going to talk about talk to some folks from Amnesty International who will be joining us live in studio. They're going to give us some insight about their new report, Scars of Survival, Gun Violence and Barriers to Reparations in the United States of America. They're going to talk about why survivors of gun violence in the USA suffer years of trauma and pain due to a combination of government policies and healthcare expenses, and why there should be a real legitimate discussion around some level of reparations for gunshot survivors. They're going to have this conversation with us this evening, but they also will be joining they also will be on campus tomorrow here at Morgan State University for a conversation with the community. So we're going to talk about that as well. So a lot to get to. Very, very exciting show. Of course, we'll love to have you, especially my first-time callers, to join us in this conversation. So let's get right into it. If we look at this situation, Mr. Alex Acosta, who serves as the Secretary of Labor under President Donald Trump, he went on the defense today, and he gave some remarks and shared some thoughts as to why he decided to do what many have called a deal of a lifetime in spite of the severity of the case. Mr. Acosta has been forced to defend himself against accusations of prosecutorial malfeasance because now there is a growing call for him to resign as the Secretary of Labor. More specifically, the House Speaker, Ms. Nancy Pelosi, has put it out there that now that Mr. Acosta has been a part of this, this was really instrumental in this deal-making with Mr. Jeffrey Epstein, that he should resign from labor as the Secretary of Labor. But he insisted, Mr. Acosta insisted today, that his office had secured a reasonable sentence facing an uncertain trial with reluctant witnesses. Mm. And he told reporters today in Washington, quote, facts are important and facts are being overlooked. These cases are complex, especially when they involve children. So I want to have this discussion because I don't know if many of you have been keeping up on this case. But there are often times when we have discussions about anything, there is oftentimes a call for boycotts, a call for resignations. There are all these other things that people want, you know, to see happen. And so tonight, I want us to just delve into it. And I'm simply, you know, getting into some understanding or you know, getting into some discussion of what do you think that should happen in this particular case? Mr. Epstein has been charged with this very, very heinous crime of sex trafficking. And they're saying that his years of abuse has not just started just a couple of years ago. He's been doing it. Some reports are even going as far to say it's the late 90s. Some people have said that he may have abused maybe a dozen or so women. Other reports are showing that he may have abused, young underage girls, excuse me. Others are saying that he may have abused nearly 100 underage girls in the course of his years of abuse. Mm. Now, as a result of the negotiating deal between Mr. Epstein and Mr. Acosta, as I mentioned, he only served 13 months, and he did it a work release program where he was allowed to do that time pretty much in his office during that 13-month period. So that's one of the things. But he did register as a sex offender. I don't know if that's a win, considering the fact that this man is a billionaire. And the reason I'm saying that is because we know that money talks. In spite of the law, in spite of what's right and what's wrong, money talks, folks. So we want to certainly keep that in mind. But people are on the fence. This has become more of a political issue now than it has been just about the victims, which is totally unfortunate. Because if you lose sight of the main person or persons that have been impacted the most, it can get into a muddled area, very, very muddled area. So this has become more of a political conversation where Republicans are trying to defend Mr. Alex Acosta. And even the president has come out to say he can only say this from what he knows. And he knows that as of right now, he's been a great, really great Secretary of Labor. The rest, according to the president, we'll have to look at it very carefully. But you're talking about a long time ago. And again, it was a decision made, I think, not by him, but by a lot of people. So we're going to look at it very carefully. These were the remarks that the president has made and in this growing call for Mr. Acosta to resign. So we want to talk about this. Let's get into it. 410-319-8888. Should there be a growing call? Do you think that Mr. Acosta should have prosecuted, done more Should there be Mr. Acosta, should he go to resign because of his involvement in this particular case? Mr. Epstein, 13 months. He avoided a federal trial, and he did register as a sex offender. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. And I think that, you know, for me, when I heard this case and it has been unfolding, folks, the biggest thing for me is the victims. Every time I hear cases like this, I'm always thinking about the victims. I'm always trying to say, okay, what would be justice for the victims? Obviously, this man should be in jail, right? I mean, there it is. There was a back in 1997. President Trump actually did an interview with a magazine, and I'll get that information. But he actually said back then, because him and Mr. Epstein did business together, of course, Mr. Epstein had a thing for women for girls. Well, the way the president phrased it, he says, you know, he likes women just like I do. He just likes them, but there's word that he likes them a little younger. This is what the president said, not me. So it's one of these things, like, you know, when we have these conversations about sexual abuse, when we have these conversations about men of power, when we have these conversations about, prosecution and punishment, it gets all very muddled. And unfortunately, we get to see the ugly side of America's, the justice system, the ugly side of our culture, the ugly side of this male-dominated society, white male-dominated society that we're seeing. We see all of these things kind of come out in these particular instances. So let's go to the phone, 410-319-8888. All right, let's kick it off with Brother Darren out of Baltimore. Brother Darren, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Congratulations on your new addition to the family.
Thank you, Brother Darren. I appreciate that. So what's your take on this, sir?
Well, let's be clear. This rabbit hole runs very deep and very steep, and very few radio talk show hosts really understand not just Jeffrey Epstein, but the global elitists that are part of this human trafficking, child pedophilia ring. Anybody that's listened to me and Irritated Gene, Dr. Randy Short, we've been talking about this for years. This ties directly into Pizzagate. It touches many of the elites, from presidents to ambassadors to prince in foreign countries and others. And so when you look at this, when you're talking about Mr. Epstein and Lolita Express, you got to look at the Podesta brothers, because this is going to touch them. Bill Clinton, who was on that plane at least 26 times or more. And not just the men, it was women. The women were the ones that was grooming the girls. So you can't dismiss that. But then you got to go to the West Coast and look at this recent case of Ed Buck, who was one of the biggest donors to the Democratic Party, particularly Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and the two black men that was found dead in his house. But you don't know about that because most of the media is not talking about it. So this doesn't just affect girls. This ties into boys as well. You know that, right?
I'm learning more about this case.
You got to know about Pizzagate. You got to know about the conspiracy of silence, talking about the boys and the group home in Nebraska, because this runs deep and steep, brother. But as it relates to, see, it shows you again what part of the news media is not doing. They're trying to push views and call it news, because they only want to talk about Donald Trump and his friendship that he had, of course, speaking about Mr. Epstein years ago. But they don't want to talk about all the others that are tied to Mr. Epstein. But again, when you talk about prosecutors don't set sentences. Judges set sentences. So the media hasn't talked about who was the judge, and let's go after the judge, right?
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Why are they not talking about who the judge was, right? You saw just recently here in Maryland where you saw a judge that they're talking about disbarring and George Russell III's wife because of how she handled a protective order that caused somebody to lose their life, right?
Right.
But yet you don't hear the news media asking who's the judge, right?
Yeah.
So they're playing on the American people's emotion right now. And all of this is pre-2020 election social engineering and propaganda being used on the American people. So you would talk about one, but you're not going to talk about the other.
So
or you're going to try to talk about it, but keep it under a tight knit so you don't ask just the basic question that I'm asking. Who are the judges? And then who are all the other victims? Because they're really only talking about two victims, Ms. Roberts and the other young lady, right?
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So where are the other victims? Nobody's talking about that.
Well, that's the big thing, Brother Darren. One is that I've read the reports. They say he may have abused up to 80 girls. So that's a lot of victims. That's more victims that I think that than we could probably talk about in you know, any situation, whether you're talking about sex abuse of R. Kelly or anybody like right. that. But the other thing you bring up, I think it's a very valid point, which is talking about the judge and the right. role that the judge played. How do you foresee this situation with Mr. Acosta turning out, considering, you know, he gave this deal? Do you feel like that this deal was the best deal? Because he is saying, and we're going to play some clips from his statement today, but he's saying that, look, this is you just the facts are important, and there are so many different elements and complexities to this case.
Right. Well, again, I think what again, neoliberals want to do is politicize this, right? Not
right.
to get justice for the girls and the victims,
right.
but they want to use this for the 2020 election. And this is porno politics is what we're looking at right now. You understand? But this rabbit hole goes deep, and so if they keep pushing it, you're going to see that other people will be bought in, such as the Clintons,
yeah.
such as the Podesta boys and others that will be bought in. I mean, politicians, elites, again, and different parts of this country will be rounded up as well.
Right. Right, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, but I think all of it should be brought to the surface so that the American people see what's been really going on and what lies beneath the surface regarding many of these victims, male and female. But the focus they're talking about right now, the females, you don't think they were doing it to little boys too?
Come on, big question. Hey, Brother Darren, thank you so much for checking in. Thank you so much. Let's go back to the phone lines, 410-319-8888. We're talking about the latest developments around the Jeffrey Epstein case. This is the billionaire financier who is being charged with allegedly operating a sex trafficking ring in which he sexually abused dozens upon dozens of underage girls. Mr. Acosta, who serves as the Department of Labor of the Secretary for the Labor Department, he is he was the U.S. attorney in Florida when the decision was made over a little bit about 10 years ago, back in 2008, where he negotiated a deal which allowed the multimillionaire to only serve 13 months in a work release program. He avoided the federal trial, but the multimillionaire had to register as a sex offender. Mr. Acosta was able to get that done. But the question becomes, looking at where Mr. Epstein, with the things that he has done, the continued behavior, was that truly justice for the girls? Was that enough? Mr. Acosta came out today and shared with you some of his thoughts as to why he decided to take the case in this manner. We're going to play those clips in a few moments, but I want to take a couple of more calls from you. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Clarence out of Park Heights. Clarence, what's your take?
Hey, Verizon, thanks for taking the call again. I couldn't resist this one. You know, my take is going to be this. Acosta knows where all the bodies are buried. So Acosta will resign, but he, under the table, probably coming through the Clintons, will get a very large sum of money just to not go any further. He'll be the attempt to localize it just to that. Now, remember, well, most people won't understand this, but the Clintons work for the Rothschilds, okay? No, nobody's going to touch Bill Clinton, okay? That's just unless the Rothschilds kick the Clintons to the curb for some reason or another. Now, this has always, for the last 20 years, been talked about by people like Red Ice Radio, the Nazi station out of Sweden, and all of the websites and radio stations, web radio podcasts that, you know, most black people don't go near, in terms of a ring, not localized to one individual. Even the early Bite show where George Ann Hughes was talking about George Norrie, all of them described this as a ring. Even the crazy man that most people think crazy, David Icke, a ring of pedophiles, okay, not just one individual. The 26 trips or 20-odd trips that Bill Clinton made on his private jet to the island, that was on, I think, Jay Dyer's show maybe 5 or 6 years ago, where the mother of one of the victims described the whole thing. Yeah, Bill Clinton was on the plane.
Mm.
So they're trying to localize it. From what I'm looking at, they're trying to localize it to Acosta and what actually transpired with him getting that lenient sentence, and then it won't go any further.
So do you think, so you're thinking, Clarence, that this is just because, and Brother Darren said that this is a very deep rabbit hole, you don't think that they're going to try to go beyond Epstein?
They get away with this kind of stuff is because they control the media, and anything they want defined as a conspiracy theory, they can put it out there and ignore it, and most people won't even pay attention to it. The moment I label it comes from CNN or MSNBC as in the category of conspiracy theory, the majority of the people are going to just ignore it.
Gotcha.
That crazy dude, David Icke's not crazy. David Icke, he talks about aliens and stuff like that. But he nailed this 20 years ago.
Gotcha. Hey, Clarence, I got you, and I appreciate you as always. Thank you so much for checking in. Let's go to Gene out of Pikesville, then Leo out of Bolton Hill. Gene, what's your take?
Yeah, how you doing, Farad?
I'm good.
Yeah, I could hear the fervor kind of building up as if we don't know about this in general. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to Rome. And if you know anything about Roman history, Greek history, you know, generally early European history, this is the norm. And it's also normal in the attitude that Asians have toward young women. Mm. And so I lived in Thailand for a year. And the way that basically Asians look at women is not really they're not really I'm not gonna say protected, but they're not really looked at as equal to boys.
Yeah, gotcha.
And so, like in Thailand, there's a culture where girls in general, they don't have a concept of prostitution. They just have a concept that women supply the physical needs for men, and that's their role.
Do you think so? So given that, I mean, we're in this new time, but we're in this new time, Brother Gene. We're in this new time, 2019. And so do you foresee that this cultural shift may change given the fact that there is much more, many more people that are speaking out against that old culture, that old norm, especially when it comes to children and women?
Again, white people are the minority in the world in general, right?
Yeah.
So this is really a majority culture attitude as opposed to, you know, basically a European attitude. But I'm saying when I speak of Greek and Rome, they took that attitude because they like Persia or Iraq, Alexander the Great. When he went to Asia, you know what I mean? They accepted this attitude. They call it the Middle East. It's North Africa, but it's really the East. Mm-hmm. And Egypt is the East.
Yeah.
And so this is an attitude that's generally accepted there, where younger women, they're not women, they're girls, but when you say a woman, that means that she
has grown and matured physically.
She has a menstrual period.
Right. Hey, Gina, I gotta
reproduce.
I hear you. I gotta let you go. Let's go to Leo. I want to get Leo in before we take our first break. Leo, what's your take on this?
Brother Faraji Muhammad, how are you today?
I'm good, Leo.
Well, my take is similar to other callers. Jeffrey Epstein is the norm, unfortunately, in the sense that rich white people, very rich Europeans, are always given the break. A deal was negotiated, allegedly, to make things better for the criminal justice system, when we know the opposite is true.
Mm-hmm.
Deal was made in order to get him off the hook, and so that he would not serve jail time of any consequence. The Secretary of Labor played a major part in this operation, as wasn't he the prosecuting attorney?
Yeah.
In that case, again, sexual deviancy is the order of the day, and the pedophilia syndicates, as they were, whether they're political operatives or multi-million-dollar operatives, are the order of the day. Donald Trump apparently is a sexual deviant, as far as I'm concerned, given what we know about his history, and the fact that he has said, and he's been quoted as grabbing the body parts of women and unauthorized and taking them by storm.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy is, this kind of corruption is not at all surprising.
Mm-hmm.
And the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And the rich continue to be excused.
To Leo, do you think Mr. Acosta, the labor secretary, do you think he should resign then?
He should have, yes, of course. Now that he's been caught, this is a political issue. And it ought to be. This is the you know, in 2020 is an election year. And it's reflective of the president of the United States in terms of who he surrounds himself with.
Right.
The rich, the powerful, and the deviant.
I hear that. Leo Barrows, thank you so much for checking in from Bolton Hill. Look, folks, we got to take our first pause. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation about Mr. Jeffrey Epstein, Mr. Alex Acosta, and get your take on it. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Based upon what I'm hearing from you so far, you know, this is a history. This is nothing new. But I think that there is a wave that is happening. The unfortunate part about this situation is that it's happening like right now in 2019. So it's going to be highly politicized for the 2020 election, which is going to be even unfortunate because of the victims that are involved, that are involved in this case. And so the victims, their voices may be drowned out because of the political bantering that's going to be taking place between Democrats and Republicans. Both sides need to keep their mind on making sure that their justice for the victim is at the forefront and not worrying about who's going to get back in office after this moment. Look, we're going to take a quick pause. When we come back, more of your thoughts, more of your calls. Post your thoughts on our Facebook page at WEAA for Raji Muhammad. And certainly give us a call at 410-319-8888. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture here on WEAA.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. We've been talking about the Jeffrey Epstein case. This is the case of the multimillionaire financier who is a political. How can we say this? He has helped a lot of folks politically in the political realm, business realm. He is a hedge fund manager. That's how he got his money. He was a hedge fund manager, and now he is being charged on allegedly operating a sex trafficking ring in which he is being charged for abusing dozens upon dozens of underage girls. Now, he was arrested last week. As he was coming off of a private jet from Paris, and the authorities took him in. They said a lot of the abuse occurred in his New York City home there in Manhattan in Palm Beach, Florida. And then another said, you know, folks are like wondering, like, what's going to be his fate? But now there is a growing call for the Secretary of Labor, Mr. Alex Acosta, who served as the U.S. attorney in Florida at the time that Mr. Epstein got a federal non-prosecution deal. And the deal basically allowed him, Mr. Epstein, to only serve 13 months in a work release program where he spent the majority of his time in his home office. And he avoided a federal trial, and he had to register as a sex offender. Now, folks are saying that Mr. Acosta, who was able to construct this deal, should resign from his post as being a part of President Trump's cabinet. As of right now, there is no talk from the White House saying that Mr. Acosta will resign. But Mr. Acosta said a few words today because he heard this growing call, especially coming from the Democrats, from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and now from presidential candidates of the 2020 election saying that he should resign. I want to play with you. I want to play for you some of the remarks that Mr. Acosta said today in a press conference about why he decided to take on this case, what was his thought process in defending or setting up this deal, and essentially his involvement to get this to not have Mr. Epstein go to prison for a very long time. Check this out.
Justice. In 2008, a major newspaper described the Epstein prosecution like this. A Florida grand jury, that is, a grand jury convened by the district attorney of Palm Beach County, had charged Epstein with a lesser offense. At that time, the Epstein legal team was elated. He would have avoided prison altogether. But then the United States Attorney's Office in Miami became involved. Epstein got an ultimatum: plead guilty to a charge that would require jail time and registration, or face federal charges. And that was the week, more than 10 years ago, that Epstein went to jail. Times have changed, and coverage of this case has certainly changed since that article. Facts are important, and facts are being overlooked. This matter started as a state matter. It was prosecuted initially by the state of Florida and not by the U.S. Attorney's Office. In 2006, a grand jury convened by the state attorney, the district attorney of Palm Beach County, reviewed the evidence and recommended a single charge. And that charge would have resulted in no jail time at all, no registration as a sexual offender, and no restitution to the victim. Further, the state attorney's office allowed Epstein to self-surrender and arraigned him the following morning. Simply put, the Palm Beach State Attorney's Office was ready to let Epstein walk free. No jail time, nothing.
That was Mr. Alex Acosta, who serves at the Department of Labor under President Donald Trump's direction and leadership. And he was just kind of breaking down as to his involvement in the case as he served as the U.S. attorney in Florida a decade ago. Back in 2008, he was the lead prosecutor in the Jeffrey Epstein case. Now, the part that Mr. Acosta is referring to in regards to the article that really got everybody talking about Jeffrey Epstein, this was an article that ran in the Miami Herald back in 2008, and the journalist at that time was Ms. Julie K. Brown, who serves as the investigative journalist for the Miami Herald. She published a series of articles, meticulously researched articles, about the secret plea deal. It was secret because the plea deal was not communicated to the victims of Mr. Epstein. But the other thing was that she talked to some of the women who say that as girls, that they were part of the sex trafficking ring run by the wealthy financier. So that particular article that ran in the Miami Herald opened the floodgates for all of this sentiment, all of this information to come on out. I want to go back to the phone lines, 410-319-8888, to hear your thoughts about this. Do you think that Mr. Acosta should resign from his post as the Secretary of Labor under President Trump? Do you think that his handling of the case was was just for those who were victimized by Mr. Epstein? What are your thoughts about this? 410-319-8888. Let's go to Robert out of Baltimore. Robert, what's your take on this?
Hey, good evening. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, yeah, you know, he should resign and charged criminally for miscarriage of justice, something in that area, or pay for play. Something would go on in that area concerning his prosecution or dying on something that's really relevant. What about the judge?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that the judge is going to get? You see, we don't recall. We got short memories. We have to recall the fact that the woman judge that sentenced O.J. Simpson to them 20-some years, she got a television show for 3 months.
Mm.
So they can cover up the pay. Mm. Now, after 3 months, she was off television. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the way they funneled her money for sticking it to O.J.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have different ways of doing what they do. You know, we got different scenarios that have been set up to throw red flags, you know, to staff a kid out there and rape them two girls. Father got on TV and told him, you know, that's nothing. And, you know, the kids get off without kids get life imprisonment.
Yeah, yeah. So you're saying that he should resign. He should resign and he should go to jail as well. That's what you're saying, Robert?
Yeah, get on out of here, man. Gotcha. Just watch and see where this these nominations are going. And that's one of the best kept secrets. They're really opening up something.
Yeah.
As to why Trump and them are really putting these nominations of these judges across the country. Who are they? And what have they done?
Yeah, yeah.
To earn these nominations. And that's a pretty, I think that's more criminal than anything else.
Yeah, Robert, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in. I mean, folks, let me just share with you that there are so many layers to this case because, as I mentioned in the first 30 minutes of the show, I talked about how there are a reported 80 girls who have been victimized, alleged victims, that have been identified within this Miami Herald article. This ran back in 2009. So 80 girls. When the police went into the home of Mr. Epstein Monday, and he had a major big home. They had a 21,000 square foot mansion in Manhattan. They found hundreds of photos of nude or partially nude young women and girls. Hundreds. Hundreds. When Miss Julie Brown, the investigative journalist of the Miami Herald, when she was doing the reporting and doing the research and doing the digging, she said that she had enough documentation and all this information about Mr. Epstein's activities that could fill a spare room in her bed in her house. Like, she had all of this paperwork. And the big thing about it was that the federal prosecutors, when they unsealed the charges on Monday, they have accused Mr. Epstein of orchestrating a, quote, vast network of underage victims involving girls as young as 14. I think we need to really also look at the dynamics of this, right? Because when we talked about R. Kelly, there was always this talk about, this thing like, well, so-and-so is doing it, so why should they be, why should R. Kelly? And it was a lot, to me, it was a lot of silly talk about, there's a lot of blaming, but it's really a lot of silly talk at the end of the day, because there was a defense for one, and then you want another one to burn at the stake, and all of this type of sentiments that were coming up. But when you really think about it, folks, about how serious and deep and heinous and just very, very how serious this type of stuff goes, this activity goes, when you're talking about operating sex trafficking ring, when you're talking about the mishandling of young girls, when you're talking about sexual abuse, it goes so deep, especially when you have money, resources, you have the law looking the other way. I mean, when you have this ongoing system in place, I saw that when there was a discussion about R. Kelly, we see that throughout a lot of these cases that these men and these, whether they're black or white, it really doesn't matter, but they were able to create a system of abuse, a system of violence, and they were able to create a system that was so good that it went beyond the eyes of justice. Let's go back to the phone lines. Folks want to check in and talk about this. Let me get to my new callers. Who we have? Is this Terena?
It is, from Baltimore.
Terena from Baltimore, new caller. Thank you so much for checking in, Terena. What are your thoughts on this? I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it.
Well, I agree with you. Money talks.
Yeah.
And it's just sad. You're right that this level of abuse was able to continue at the hands of the people that, you know, we're supposed to look up to, that are supposed to help run the country. And it's beyond me. It's mind-boggling. But, you know, speaking of R. Kelly and people like Bill Cosby, they really need to go back to the table, because if this man was allowed to walk, and that's what he did, literally, he got a slap on the wrist and he walked. Well, what he did to these young girls, mm-hmm. It is absolutely absurd because of the amount of money. That just goes to show you and let you know he had people in his pocket.
Mm, right. Exactly.
You're not talking about average people. We're talking about lawyers, judges, people that are running this country that we look up to, that allowed this man to do what he did to innocent children and literally walk.
Right.
Bill Cosby and R. Kelly really need to see how this plays out, because I bet you at the end of the day, when all of this plays out, you're going to be surprised of the people that are actually involved to help him get away with this. And it starts at the top.
Yeah.
It starts at the top. This man knew some people, and he knew people that could move mountains.
Right.
He wasn't dealing with peons. He was dealing with
former presidents and presidents. Right, right.
Yes.
Right.
Talking about the state of Florida, where back in that time when all this happened, the Bushes were running that state. I'm sure he got away. Look at his skin color, and that's all I'm going to say.
I hear that. Hey, Terena, I appreciate you for being one of our new callers tonight, and hopefully this won't be the last time we hear from you. All right, let's go to Ms. Tracy and Glen Burnie. Ms. Tracy, what's your take on this?
I agree with everything your caller just said, and I think it goes a lot deeper. Also, I think today when they talked to Acosta, he wouldn't even apologize to the girl. He wouldn't even apologize to the fact that he did this under the table, dealing with Epstein's lawyer.
Yeah.
He didn't even have, this whole, you know, Trump was looped into all this too. First of all, I think his whole administration is a criminal enterprise anyway. If you're a crook, you can get hired by his administration. If you got any morals or values, you're not going to get a job.
Mm.
But this Epstein situation, it goes deep, because he's going to be involved, the lady said. I think he's going to be involved with so many powerful people that were involved in this, not just to cover up, but also that were engaging in these things with these young girls. And don't forget now, Trump had a modeling agency also.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that's going to come out of this. And Barr, he hasn't recused himself. Because, like I say, it goes deep. All these people are connected. Barr's father hired Epstein years ago to work as a professor in a private school, and he didn't even have a teaching license.
Mm.
It goes really deep. So Barr is involved in this also. Like I said, this is going to get dirty.
But do you think? Well, here's the thing, though.
A lot of people are going to have dirt all over them.
Okay, but Ms. Tracy, it's the thing, though. Do you really think it's going to get dirty? Because now, if you're talking about some of the most powerful people in this country or on this planet, do you really think that they're going to be implicated, or their names? Sure, their names come up as being associated with them, but I don't foresee anybody.
I always wait on the side. I'm a person that tries to stay positive.
I try to as well.
So circle of Trump. I tried to stay positive. But this man, Epstein, don't get it twisted. He's got a lot of stuff in his pocket. He's got a lot of things to say, hey, if you don't do this for me, I'm going to bring everybody down. Now, right. I'm not saying that, he's going to topple everybody, but I'm sure there are going to be some pieces of the pie that he's going to say, you know what, let the chips fall where they may. But he's going to serve some time in jail. It's a matter of how many years. The minimum is 10 years. He
right.
can't get around that.
I hear
That's
you.
That's 10 years. Now, let's see if he keeps his mouth shut for 10 years. I doubt it. Because this guy's got some deep connections and some deep pockets.
There it
is. We'll see how it plays out.
We're definitely going to see it. We're going to definitely see how it plays out. Ms. Tracy, appreciate you for checking in from Glen Burnie. Let's go to Robert in Baltimore County. Robert, what's your take?
How you doing, Brother Faraji?
I'm good.
It's good to hear, man. I totally agree with everything what Ms. Tracy just said for our caller and the one before her said as well. I'm going to go a little deeper. Everybody who knows me personally knows that I am an avowed, proud conspiracy theorist, and I also take issue with that name itself because the term conspiracy theory was a CIA constructed term to undermine the credibility of people who say anything against the official narrative anyway. So, having said that, I am a proud conspiracy theorist. Now, with that, Brother Faraji, I'm going to say this. I've been reading for years how President Bill Clinton was on the ledger, the flight log for the so-called Lolita Express that Mr. Epstein had ran. Mr. Epstein has his own plane, of course, you know. He has his own island, and it's been officially counted that President Bill Clinton's name had appeared on a flight log 26 times. And with the sources I read in different conspiracy circles, his Secret Service detail was always conveniently told to stand down and just wait until he gets back. So when people say, well, he couldn't do that with Secret Service, no, he can always have them stand down upon executive order. Secondly, Miss Hillary Clinton is also on a ledge about 20 times. So he's 26, she's 20 times. Now, let me say this. One of three outcomes are going to play out with Mr. Epstein. Either he basically has an accident, a heart attack, which can be induced, because there's ways to make people have heart attacks and look as if it's like we're a natural phenomenon. Either he would have a heart attack,
yeah.
or the evidence, the hard evidence, the paper photographs, might somehow get mismanaged, misplaced, and his hard drive might get wiped by accident, of course, or he brings everybody down.
Here's the thing, though, Robin. I'm just because I'm pressed for time, and I appreciate you for checking in. Here's the thing: amidst all of those things, how can the victims of Mr. Epstein really get the justice that they need? Whether it's one or whether it's 80, we can't lose sight of the victim. I mean, yes, Mr. Epstein's pockets are deep, his contacts are deep, the nature of his behavior and his activity is certainly unconscionable. But now we have to keep in mind, what about the victims? Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Carol, new caller out of Baltimore. Carol, what's your take?
My take is Mr. Epstein will do some time, and the stink that will occur when everything is revealed.
Miss Carol? Looks like we lost Carol. Thank you so much, Carol. We just definitely wanted to hear the rest of what you had to say. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Sean in Baltimore. Sean, what's your take?
Hey, man, how's your afternoon?
Good. I'm good, Sean. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to ask a very question that I wondered.
Sure.
So my question is, how do them girls feel that he just left out and walked? How do they feel? They don't get no justice in this.
Hey, Sean, that's an excellent question. That's the big question I think that we need to keep in mind when you have cases like this.
Like, they just didn't even think of the girls about this. Like all them girls and all them pictures and stuff, man, this is just crazy. It's a crazy world out here.
It is a crazy world. Hey, Sean, I appreciate you for checking in from Baltimore. Thank you so much. Hopefully this won't be the last time. Daniel, Silver Spring, talk to me. What's your take?
Yes, I think that there's a few things, key things that I want to point out, one of which is there's a separate system of justice that is at play here.
Mm.
I do think that there are already decisions being made based on different deals that both perhaps the current Secretary of Labor may have made in his previous occupation, certainly on Mr. Epstein's behalf and others in that industry, in the event that something like this happens, that things come to light. And I'm gonna pull back for 1 second here. So my understanding, the way that this human trafficking industry works, specifically for the sex portion, is that they're providing these, in this case, underage people, underage women, to certain areas to satisfy the illegal both trade and sexual prostitution, things like that.
Right.
So here we have in this whole case is surrounded in Palm Beach County. So you can't have a single outlet, let's say, in a particular area that this guy supports, that Epstein, that he's providing to. He has to, you know, if you set up shop one place, you cannot expect to have control of that market and to contain the information that flows back and forth amongst your people. Because these are just everyday young people that have to go home at the end of the day still, mm-hmm. And nobody, they can't have enough people to watch all these folks. So they mm-hmm. have to control a great area, a bigger area of this illicit activities that go on. So having said that, a lot more people, both Mr. Epstein, the current DOL secretary,
mm-hmm.
And others, patrons, know the facts of things that are going on. So in order to contain that, the agreements that they've already made in this business are already in play right now as we speak, ahead of the case.
So Daniel, you're thinking that there is another secret deal that's being made?
But that's one thing. Now the reason I'm saying this is because just recently, earlier this year, also in Palm Beach County, you had the owner of the Patriots and Mr. President involved in something with at a location
in
Florida. Palm Beach County,
yep.
in which people that could have very well been provided or part of this sexual trade involved. So you
Ooh.
Can't tell me that those lines and those networks aren't.
But they might be two different things, though. Maybe, and
so
they might be. I don't know.
Who's dealing what?
Hey, Daniel, you bring up a good point. I can understand why you would make that connection. I don't know, but they might be two different things, though, or they could be a part of the same thing. It just could simply be.
For this guy, for Epstein
and Robert Kraft and all of that.
He knows and maintains and massages the level of clientele that he wants. And believe me, it's not going to be anybody making, you know, $50,000, $100,000 a year. It's going to be some high-end folks.
No, you're right.
That he can transport from point A to point B, get through all sorts of checks for security, and get the people that are doing the nasty work that get kidnapped or get tricked into the business or what have you, to get them to be the places they need to be in all levels of scrutiny, law enforcement, and social work and all such.
It's sad.
Between those lowest-level folks all the way through parts of government that can actually act and do things, have been influenced to not do things.
Hey,
so
Daniel.
That's a lot that has to happen.
You said a mouthful, and I really appreciate that comment. Thank you so much for being a part of the conversation, checking in from Silver Spring. But I think that that's the thing about this, folks, that there's so many layers, there are so many rabbit holes, there are so many folks that have the deep pockets, the deep contacts, they have the resources, they have the means and ways by which they can kind of get around. When I hear cases like this, it saddens me about the state of affairs of our leadership in this country, the state affairs of you know, it almost make you not want to be rich, because then you start to create this mindset. You get this privilege that you just like, my goodness, if that's the model of wealth, come on. That you start to destroy folks in the process. It's like with Dr. King, and we were talking about yesterday, the drum major instinct. It starts to kick in. It's all about you. It's all about whatever you can get at the destruction of other people, at the pushing down of other people, at the victimizing of other people, in this case, little girls. It's becoming a very, very sad case and a very, very sad sign of where we are in this country. As great as this country is technologically, scientifically, on some level socially, we still are acting like savages and are very barbaric in our behavior and our thinking. And it's starting from the top. Look, I got to take another pause. When we get back, I'm going to see if we can get a final couple of calls in from Kevin and from Abraham from Baltimore. Also, we're going to be talking to some folks from Amnesty International about